Welcome back, everyone. It is Tip O. Hey, ho.
And it's the pretty Ricky, 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 Ricky.
Hey, and we are back, y'all, for another recap and discussion of This Is Us, Season 6, the final season, the final chapter, Episode 3, titled Four Fathers. Okay, so y'all know I always have to give my little summary of my feelings in the beginning. So I love that this episode was father-centered. I love the accuracy of the episode. And I really think the staff writers are like parents because they capture parenting so authentically, especially when it comes to Toby and Kate's parenting struggles that we've seen throughout the series. So I'm just like, man, thank you, staff writers, because this is so accurate.
Yeah, I like it too, because I don't know if I've really seen a lot of shows go into what I would just name as daddy guilt. And I see this in all the parallels of from older Jack, you know, from Jack and Rebecca to Kate and Toby to Kevin and Madison, even a little bit with Randall and the Deja situation. I'm like, okay, just some type of father guilt, or just, you know, their kids are growing before their eyes and how they're all handling it. And you usually see those things from a mother's point of view. At least I feel that I have more so than just from the daddy's point of view.
Right. Agreed. You're so right. And I love how, like you said, This Is Us always, they don't belabor the point, but they always like put a little spotlight on the fathers. Like, this is what fathers are dealing with. And I know I've been a person who have made the rude joke of, but I think it's pretty funny. I have made the rude joke of, I wish I could come back as a father in my next life or whatever. But fathers do have it hard, and they try, but still.
I never heard you say that joke. That's really funny.
It's a new one. I got it from my coworker.
Okay.
But we did get some clarification. So remember last week, we were like, man, I wonder, was Rebecca wearing that scarf when she and Miguel was dancing? Like, was a neck cover?
Yes.
So she was not covering her neck, girl. Her neck was free to the world. So also, I was in one of those This Is Us discussion groups. Yes, they have those, of course. And somebody mentioned that there were, like, the red dress was almost like a character, if you will. So younger Sally had on a red dress in the flashbacks. Rebecca had on a red dress in her flash forward where she's dancing with Miguel. And Deja in her red dress.
Oh my God.
Okay.
The subtle details. Okay. I didn't notice that at all, Tish.
Me either. I just know that Deja had that beautiful red dress, but no, I did not notice nobody else's like that to like link it. So cool.
Wow. Okay.
All right. So this week's episode begins with baby Jack, who's now grown, and he is, I thought he was grilling, but we later learn he's smoking. So there may be some semantics there. I don't know, but he's smoking some meats. And what I loved about this scene is that I like how he's so independent as a blind person. Like, he kind of reminds me of Ray Charles. And I just give kudos to Jack's parents, Kate and Toby, or Kate. I don't know how they're gonna like nitpick it down. Like, it was Kate that got him independent, or it was both of them. But anyway, for giving him the tools, like, oh my gosh. But that was like really cool. Cause we've seen, every time we see him in the future, he's always pretty much self-sufficient. And I that's just magnificent.
No, that's true. And that was one of the first things I noticed too. I was like, okay, yay to the rearing of Jack, because he's totally dependent and, you know, visually impaired or not. Like, he's cooking what you want to eat for dinner too, because he got you, okay? He got you.
And he put his hand all the way in the smoker too. You saw that, girl? Yeah. Like, come on now. You're living on the wild side, okay? Yeah. And then a joke you made, he's like, I haven't burned my eyebrows off yet. Wait, are my eyebrows?
Where have I? Yeah. Yes, love the humor, love it. You probably get that from his daddy. Okay.
So while he's grilling, he has a thought or a memory that comes up with some smoke, and I have my caption on, but none of it makes sense, and I get confused, and I'm like, what is happening? So I am going to pause right here and say, at this juncture of our 2 minutes in, did you have any idea how this scene was going to wrap into this Four Fathers episode, girl?
No, but I feel like that was a crumb. So I didn't know how, but I said, this is a crumb. And I thought we would get to the end of the crumb at the episode. Yeah. So you're stopping at the point where, you know, he's there with the smoker and the girlfriend. Have you gotten to that point where she kind of comes to him?
No, I don't want to talk about that. I want to wait to the end for that one, girl.
Okay, okay. But that was all kind of in that first moment, though. So when that was all in that moment. And in the end, I'm sure we'll talk about more when they go back to Jack Jr. But all in that same moment when she came to him, and just when she came and what she said, and we'll wait to talk about it later. I already said, ooh, it's going to be a crumb. And is this crumb going to be leading to the demise of Kate and Toby's relationship?
Wow, girl. Wow. I was just so confused. Because let me tell you why I was confused. I mentioned I had my caption on. Well, I was confused anyway. But not to help the matter, I had my caption on. And, you know, the smoke is going or whatever. And in the smoke, my caption says Kate. And then it says Jack, Jack. And I'm like, oh, so his wife's name is Kate? So I was like, because you know, like, as Kate is saying Jack, Jack, she's also saying Jack. So I'm like, oh, okay, so he married somebody named Kate, his mama's name? I was so confused. So yeah, I was way off on what was happening with that thing.
So that's very interesting because I didn't have my caption on, but if it says Kate Jack, I wonder if that was going on in his brain. And that's also another crumb as to what's really happening.
That's exactly right. So we'll come back to that, girls. I think it was good.
Okay.
So let's head on over. I usually do my people in order, but this time I'm not. Kevin and Madison. So we see Kevin showing up what seems to be every morning at Madison's home to greet her with matcha and to see his babies first thing in the morning. And at first it seems to be like, oh, this is a great idea. We're making it work. But then it seems to start being kind of problematic. She's more complaining, not as chipper, and complaining in a motherly way. Like, it just makes sense. Like, I was up all night, you know? And you come bright and early, like, hey, like, the babies ain't even woke up. Like, I could be sleeping if you were busting up in my house or knocking on my door to get in my house.
Yeah.
So Kevin is still staying with Kate. And he watches Toby, Kate, Baby Jack, and Baby Rose look as a family, the family that he wants. That's what I take from it, at least. And he goes to do a table read later on in an episode for the Manny. And the scene got him in his feels. But girl, okay. So before they go into the scene, reading from the scene, that part cracked me up because Kevin had made that bad joke about the fake babies. And then that girl who plays his daughter was like, and Kevin looked at her like, wow, was that funny though?
Yeah, at the onset was like, okay, yeah, she's really liking her son Kevin. She's real excited about this joke. Okay.
Exactly. Okay. So I already knew what was up with her though. I was like, ain't nobody gonna laugh that hard at that bad joke. Kevin's face was so funny though. Okay, so Kevin does the table read. He gets in his feels because I believe he's thinking about his own, you know, how this family is like a unit. They're all sitting around a table. He's happy to have them there as the fake father. And he's thinking about his real life in comparison or contrast. And so he forgets his lines or get lost in a moment, but the scene ends well. And so after that scene, the person who plays the Manny invites Kevin for drinks. And I'm like, why would Kevin even go out with these little kids in the first place? But I guess he has nothing else going on. I really thought he was going to be like, no, I'm going to Madison's house. Did you think anything like that?
I didn't think necessarily I'm going to Madison's house. I was just thinking, Lord, I figured he would probably go. And I was just like, oh, goodness, please don't let this be a setup of him starting to drink again. Because we knew from the scenes prior that he is just really, it's challenging. It's a challenging situation to deal with. And so he had a lot on his mind. So I was just hoping he didn't take a sip. So that was really the main thing on my mind, thinking he's going to go. And I just hope this going out with the homies or with his castmates does not lead him to a place he does not want to be in.
True. So we see that he does make his way through the bar. He's drinking water, even though he's buying shots and drinks for everyone. But I was kind of like, he was like, oh, I'll buy this round. And the guy was like, well, this is not why I invited you out. But since you're doing it, hey, shots, everybody. I'm like, really? Like, have some food.
And I was so happy, speaking of that, when I saw he had that water glass. So I was like, yes, okay, good. They didn't get you. They didn't get you.
They didn't get you, girl. And so the girl who plays his daughter, her voice is so annoying. And it was so funny. It was like, did you even just say English or whatever he said?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So She is pushing up on Kevin and she puts her number in his phone. And at that point, Kevin gets a video from Madison of Franny taking her first steps. And so Kevin is like, oh my gosh, super excited. And it reminded me of when Andrew took his first steps and I was not at home. I was on my way home. At this time, my husband was picking up Andrew from daycare. And so I was coming home. He was already at home putting up the baby gate for the upstairs or whatever. And he sent me a video. He was like, look, he's walking. And I was like, what? And so of course, just like Kevin, I'm like, I got to see this for myself. So Kevin goes straight over to Madison's home and is like, where is she? I need to see this. And Madison's like, nah, bro, they sleep. Like the baby sleep at 7:30. They go to sleep at 7:29. You're gonna have to wait till tomorrow. And Kevin's like, but I don't want to wait. Like, I want to see it. I want to see all the moments. I'm missing moments. And she's like, okay, you missed that. But it's not always rosy moments over here. Like, I was trying to eat food, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, no less. And your child threw up in my hair. And now I got to clean myself and make myself look like a human being for Elijah. Did you hear that, girl? I was like, wait.
Yes, I did, girl. He came back on. I was like, okay, Elijah's being consistent. It's more than just book club that's happening, okay? Listen, if you... if you're not here for it, if you're not gonna stay where you are with me and where we are together, then I'm about to live this life and I'm here for it. So I was happy when she said Elijah. I said, all right, come through, Elijah. Even though you know what I still want. I want them together. I believe it's gonna work out. But I'm like, live your life, boo.
I don't like it. I'm stuck like Kevin. Like, I do not want to face the facts that we are not a family unit that I want in my mind. So for you to move forward when I'm still stuck, it's like, you're mean.
It's a hard reality. It is a hard reality, but it's a reality nonetheless. And also, again, this whole every morning, to your point, like, I kind of get a little frustrated by it. Like, I love that you are so hands-on and you want to see them every single day, twice, you know, all as much as you can, not every weekend, every other weekend type of father. That's wonderful. But I'm trying to get these last couple of, you know, Z's in, and I'm counting these sheep. And every morning at whatever time you're coming through knocking on the door, we may need some extra, you know, snooze time. So listen,
I know.
I can go on and on, but it's like, I'm really here for where Madison at, is putting her boundaries down. And like you said, figuring it out, it's hard on both ends. It really is tough.
Is it hard on? No, it is hard on her on the parenting aspect, but her dating life seems to be on and popping, and that's where I'm mad at. And I still blame Madison for why they like this. I know you're like, well, Kevin wasn't in love with her, but so what? Semantics.
He wants everything to work out because how he sees it in his mind, despite the fact that's not really where he is emotionally. And yay for the lady who's like, you know what? You don't even love me. I refuse to marry somebody who doesn't love me. She didn't sign up for married at first sight. I know. I hear you. And it happens. I don't even mind arranged marriages, honestly. But in this situation, she's like, this is not what I'm signing up for.
I need her to sign back on, okay? So with the realization of if she's still dating Elijah, she's like, Ricky over here, boundaries, man, boundaries. You come in the morning, you come in the evening, like you always here, and that's cool and all, but no, don't be coming up in here fussing at me for staying on schedule with the kiddos when you only be here for like 2 minutes and I'm here 24/7. Okay. So I think that was like a theme throughout this, well, at least for Toby and Kevin, like, yeah, you come in and you're trying to be involved, but your involvement is limited, it's constricted, and for Jack. So I guess like fathers in general, because again, even my husband, his work schedule is longer and not as flexible as mine. So he will rush home to see the kiddo. But if you're not here by 8 o'clock, then you probably missed him, buddy. So it's like, and then I'm gonna get to that, I guess, with Kate. But it's like, we have a flow and a schedule going on, and you can't just expect me to throw the schedule and flow to the side because you want to pop in when you feel like popping in. That's not how that goes. So that's why I'm just like, kudos to the staff writers, because they understand that schedule and flow is important. And yet these men be trying to throw everything off. Okay. So what happens? He goes back to Kate and Toby's house, and he's talking to Toby about wanting to be a family, seeing himself as a four square family. And Toby is like, well, you know, triangles are stronger than squares, so it could just be you, Franny, and Nikki. And I'm thinking like this whole time, like, what are y'all talking about? So when Kevin was like, what are you talking about? I almost fell off my couch, girl.
But you know what, Tiff? I saw this moment as a foreshadow moment.
Oh.
But okay. On the reverse. So I get what I was kind of really paying attention to him. So I was all in, I was into it, but I understand the Kevin and the you were like, what are you saying? But I was like, I feel you, Toby. Like, put your hand, put that pressure on that triangle, right? It's not about the flatter. I see you, I feel you. So I'm just thinking, you know, as he's trying to say, you know, triangles look at you and the two kids, I'm like, but is this almost him telling this to Kevin? But it's really what he's going to have to take in for himself, because it doesn't work out with him and Kate. And, you know, I still think that him and Kevin and Madison are going to make it. So it's really going to still be his square, but Toby is going to have to receive the triangle for himself.
It was like a bad thing. I like that, girl. I like that. They tried to do the bait and switch, but you were like, no, ma'am. You talking to yourself, brother. The man in the mirror.
To yourself. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. All right, MJ. Yeah.
So Kevin is in bed, but he can't sleep. And so he picks up the phone to call his military friend. What's her name again? No, I don't remember.
Cassidy.
So he calls Cassidy and he's like, I'm calling you because I don't want to call this little girl that played my daughter. That's what's up, really. And so, girl, people are theorizing that Cassidy is going to be his future wife. So we're back there. So what are your thoughts on that?
I don't believe that. I really still believe that him and Madison are going to get together. And I feel like they truly have developed this friendship. And I was proud of him for making that decision. He didn't go for the booze. He didn't go for the little 25-year-old co-star. He was like, let me try to call, dare I say, a friend. I mean, it was a friend with benefits for sure. But I really think they gel. So I'm thinking it's just going to be a friend situation. I don't think they're going to end up together.
I hope not, because, you know, I never wanted them together. And yes, I am still rooting for Madison and Kevin. So with that, I think we've made it all the way through Kevin and Madison. Do you have any other comments or observations?
My observation is that when Kevin and Madison had this conversation, I feel like it was another aha moment for him, right? So last episode, they have a conversation and he realized, like, this isn't really working. Let me go move to Kate. Let me go get out of this space, get out the garage. And so now it's like, you're right. Like, I feel like he was upset in that moment. Like, I want to see these steps, but it's like, I get it. It really is not easy on either of us. And I just can't keep walking in here knocking on your door at 7:30 p.m. Elijah. So you got a whole life happening. I think he really got in that point. I just think that Madison did a great job of really validating him. I hear you, but listen to this. And it's tough on both ends. That's what she said. Yeah. So I think he really got it. So I felt like he had an aha moment in this episode.
I like how you frame that, because I saw him have the type of reaction, but I thought it was more of a, oh, so you still with Elijah, huh? I didn't realize it was more of a realization or acceptance that, oh, it's not just hard on me, it's hard on Madison. So I agree with you. And yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. And I think the acceptance also to me came out even more when he did call Cassidy. He was like, I am this grown man with money to buy a fancy house in California. So you already know you're talking about like a million, because California real estate, okay, like, you're talking about money. I can buy a fancy house and I'm sitting up here. First, I was in a garage. Now I'm in my sister's spare bedroom. Like, he is really trying to, he's accepting some things and like, what, you know, what is this? What's going on? So I just see him accepting things in this episode. And I had the moment that you brought up last week, more so about Rebecca and Sally, or just really Rebecca, have we seen her with friends? And it just made me think that when they do have tough situations, absolutely is important to have family and brothers and your siblings, but like, who would they have to call from, like a pen that's, you know, not biased? Like, who have we seen Kevin with friends? Like, maybe playing football back in the day, but I don't even think I've seen any of the Pearson kids really just have this friendship or their old school friend and they still connect with them. We know that Kate and Madison are friends, but that was a lot older in life. So that just also came to mind too. Like, man, okay. I've never seen him in a friendship light or a brohood.
Yeah. And we know Randall don't have no friends. So
yeah.
And to your point, it's not like he could just walk out and talk to Kate, because Madison, to our knowledge, is still Kate's best friend. So it's like, okay, well, you can't even be in the middle of this. So who can I call?
Yeah. And it's, you know, yeah, who can you call? in the reality, he realizes everybody else does have their own thing that they're kind of dealing with too. But yeah, so yeah, so I'll give it a, for Kevin. Like you know, you do have a lot going on. You need somebody to talk to. So I'm hoping Cassidy still remains a friend. Yeah.
All right. So are we ready to move on?
Yes, ma'am.
Let's go to Jack and Rebecca. So Jack is struggling to balance work and family. He decides he wants to spend Saturday at the movies with the kids. And I'm like, Rebecca, like, oh, you want to take three kids to the movie to sit still and watch something that takes at least an hour? Oh, okay, have fun. He's like, you're not coming? No, I ain't coming.
That was funny. I am not signing up for that. Yeah, that's funny.
They always want you to come. Are you here? Are you here all day? I want you to be here too. I can be here by myself, so you go by yourself. You'll be fine. Mm-hmm. You'll survive. So the movies, girl, it sounds so boring. Like, as we're hearing it, I'm like, what are y'all watching? I don't know if they told us what they were watching, but I'm like, what are y'all watching and why is it so boring? Like, who's supposed to like this? So Jack falls asleep and adventurous little Kevin sneaks out of the theater to get food samples from the food court. But just as a little kid, he gets lost and the mall police call Rebecca. So how do they know to call Rebecca? Because she done put the number in his shoe. And I'm like, thank y'all. I didn't know to do that.
But I was just about to ask you, like, is this a mommy thing? Like, who knows to do these things? You put numbers on kids' clothes and shoes?
We've been just practicing, like, what's the number? Say it out loud.
That's what I remember. Like, let's say the number so you know this is the number that you have them call. If it's an emergency situation, which at that point, nobody really had cell phones. So if mama was out at the store, they would have just been calling the house phone and nobody would be there.
So. Yes, exactly. So no, I thought that was genius. You know, it was kind of smeared. And I'm like, well, my son doesn't have a tongue in his shoe that big to put all that on as big. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, like, did she tell the kids, like, I'm writing the numbers in here. So if something ever happens, you show it to them. Or did the police officer just know, like, oh, let's look in his shoe. But I'm hoping the former. But yeah, so I just thought that was genius.
Okay, that is genius. And apparently, so you hadn't heard, I thought it was a thing that like, it was like a mommyhood thing that y'all knew to do. And I'm like, that's so genius, go mother.
So of course, Jack is down on himself because he's like, man, I was trying to make a memory with the kids and all Kevin's gonna remember is getting lost in the mall and crying and mommy having to come save him. And Rebecca's like, well, it doesn't have to be the end of the day. Like him getting lost doesn't have to be his last memory. You can make a different memory. Like we still have some day left. And so he takes her advice and he gets some ice cream and some pillows. And I don't really know what they do with the pillows, but whatever they did, Kevin remembers that and he's excited. But then we get to the end of the episode. I know. Where we sadly get the news that Jack's mom has died, and I almost died because I'm like, can y'all not be doing this? Like,
why can't we have the night in where the kids remember ice cream and daddy and mama remember about the kids having so much fun with the ice cream sundae? It was just too good to be true. He got that call. I thought it was that he lost his job. I was like, well, they call that late. Girl. I was like, did he just lose his job? I don't know what it was.
Yes. I'm like, what is it? Hurry up. I'm like getting impatient. Like, you're not giving me enough clues on this side of the phone. Okay. Like what's happening here? So, yeah, that was really sad. And so next episode, we are going to see him at the funeral, his mom's funeral. But I'm like, y'all know that this is the final chapter though, right? Like, y'all just carrying on these episodes.
Kim, okay. Snaps for you. Cause that was my initial reaction. Like, I'm sorry this happened. I think we need to do a little plug to it, but if we don't have a whole episode on the final chapter about the funeral, like, I don't know how I'm feeling about this. So I'm like sure they're going to tie it all the way back together. It's going to all make sense, but I was thinking the same thing. This is the final chapter, though. Like
final chapter, girl. And they just going along like nothing. They gave us the white card. They're like, that's all you need. It was like, no, right? We got a whole bunch of things hanging.
And this wasn't even one that I knew was hanging, really. But I guess we haven't seen Jack go back to his hometown and confront something. So, okay.
I am excited that Jack gets a Jack's focused episode because I feel like he always popped in here and there because he's always in memory, even though this is in memory, but it seemed like it's going to be a Jack centered episode. So the only other time, not only other time, but one of the other times I can remember was a Jack focused episode is when he became a superhero and enlisted himself into the war to go find his brother. And it's like, really?
But yeah, I remember that. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a good episode, but I'm just like, y'all know that we only have like 7 episodes left. And unless y'all really tie this in on how we needed this episode, we could have had this on a cutting room floor.
Yeah. Agreed. That's pretty much where I'm at right now. So we'll see. Watch. We're going to be blown away. We're like, girl, this was the next one. It was so good. I had my tissues. I was standing in the corner, girl. Yes. You know how you do. I had to center myself, girl. It was like Bishop.
Yeah, I'm going to have my tissues because I think I said it before. Whenever a spouse, a child, or a parent dies, it just really impacts me. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's see, anything else about Jack and Rebecca before we move forward?
Just a hats off to Rebecca, as I always do, for her handling this so well, like the kids getting lost. Like, I just can imagine a mom being frantic, getting a call and perhaps like, daddy, you know, or a husband, like, what happened? You know, and kind of maybe going off and having to take some time to calm down from it. But she was totally just forgive yourself. Like, it happens. He's a kid. And I was like, okay. Kudos to Rebecca for handling that so well.
That is a good point. And I hope I remember, but that is a juxtaposition to Kate and Toby. We're going to get to that for handling that. So that's a good point, girl. So let's cut on over to Randall, Beth, and Deja.
Oh, my. Okay.
So, girl, this is the car ride we have been waiting for, right? So
girl, the one that let me... Yes, girl. I might say what had me screaming on the television when it was cutting to this week's episode. I was like, oh, no. Okay, so yes.
So I'm still like pumped. So they show Randall first. He's like excited to go test driving with Deja. Is it called test driving? Anyway, driving with Deja because he gets to spend time with his eldest daughter. And by the way, I was listening. Deja calls Beth Beth. She does not call her mom. So there we go.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
I know. So while in the car, girl, the moment we were waiting for. They are talking about her science teacher wanting to become a comedian. I'm like, okay, that's random. But this actually reminded me because my dad taught me how to drive. So I was like, oh yeah, I remember being in a car. My dad wasn't as chill as Randall. Like he was just back like she a pro or something or whatever. But I just remember talking about stuff and having that bonding moment, I guess you will. So anywho, Malik's text comes through that spills all the beans. He says something about you were here last weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, like, so you can't even lie because you didn't told everything. You were here last weekend and you was in my bed. You told everything, okay? Mm. And Randall's face, oh my gosh.
I know.
Girl, can we just pause for a second to clap, applaud that facial expression? Like, I'm like, can y'all give him an Emmy just for that facial expression? It was so good, girl. It was so good. I was like, like, that was my reaction.
The hurt, the anger,
yes.
The... like disbelief,
yes,
all of that in the sadness. Like it was so much in that look, Tiff.
Like he was speechless. And when they cut the commercial, I was like, please cut back to that car ride because you know what I wanted from it. I wanted him to go ham, but they didn't come back from that. But just the initial reaction was so good. It was so good. And like, she's like trying not to look at him, but she does look at him and he still just look at him. What did he have to think about to like channel such a good face? That face was so good.
Yes, but I mean the betrayal, you just saw all of that in there, but it was just like, what? Yeah, what did I just hear? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It was good. So we got a commercial, and when we do finally come back to Randall and them, Randall is pacing in his bedroom as he tells Beth what has occurred. I'm like, okay, this is good. They're still angry, even though apparently nothing happened in the car. I guess he's probably like, okay, driving time is over. We're going back to the house. But I'm like, I need it. Like, okay, so anyway, I'm still holding my breath, hoping that what I need is going to happen. So Beth is also steaming. So I'm like, okay, good. But then Beth is like, well, we can't both be angry. And I'm like, okay. Why not? So I'm like, they are about to do what I don't want them to do, which is, oh, well, you know, Deja's, you know, she's growing up. But I'm like, no, we don't need compassion right now. I need anger. I need Randall's face to continue throughout this episode. I'm like, can y'all not? So Randall decides to go for a run to calm down, and Beth goes to talk to Deja. And when I see Beth sit down next to Deja, I throw my hands up, and I'm like, ugh, it's over. Like, ain't nothing about to happen. They want to do, ooh. So what they do? So when they come back after that scene, Randall returns from his 5-mile run, and Beth is like, I talked to her, and she's in love, so there's nothing we can do. And I'm like, I don't like this. Mm-hmm. So Randall don't like it either. And so Beth is like, well, you know, take some wine. He was like, I don't want no wine. I just ran. She was like, no, drink the wine. So he's drinking the wine. She's like, we got to go get her on birth control. And I'm like, I'm surprised he didn't spit it out in your face. Because first off, you just told me ain't nothing we going to do other than take her phone for forever, which, okay. Talk about the iPhone 30. That'll be out tomorrow. Like, are we on the iPhone 28 or something? Like, okay. But yeah, I'm just like, Bez, like, she's right, but I don't want that right. I don't want right. I want angry right. I want Randall's face.
Did you want old school, like, switch belt, like, put hands on you, like,
we got to be physically abused.
But you want it, like,
yes. I need to be like, pacing in her room.
Yes.
With yeah. Bill. Like, what? I needed the conversation that they were having in their bedroom to be happening in her bedroom or whatever. And just going in, like, everything that he was saying to Beth as to why he was angry, I needed him to be saying that to Dave.
Yeah. Okay. I got you. I understand.
Thank you, girl. Thank you.
No, I understand. I wonder if they learned something from it with she went off on Tessa that time, and maybe Beth is trying to go back to her parenting from one child. She's like, wait, I kind of went in. Let me look at this moment differently. Let us both, like, let me be more calm or you to be more calm. So I'm wondering if it was because we have seen her mostly more so than Randall kind of just kind of go off.
Yes.
Get out the house, slamming door, you know, like, nah, we're not having this right here. You know, try to act like I'm doing this because it's a female. I'm saying because you have somebody in your bedroom and we don't have these doors closed in here.
Mm-mm. And when I busted in that though, you was doing stuff you weren't supposed to be doing right. With a boy or a girl.
Yes.
So, okay, we going back to season
5. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. So, yeah. So we've seen her go at it. And I agree. I feel like I did want a little bit more of that conversation, too. I was just wondering if you were, like, how far you wanted to go. But I think we're on the same page. Like, you need to have the anger or discuss the reasons why. What you mentioned, you was like, it's just so dangerous. Yes. And really hit on why this is a problem. You lied. Yes. And you could have, something could have happened to you. We would have been calling Tiffany. And Tiffany would have been like, huh?
Who's Deja?
Yeah, who is Deja? Yeah.
I was unfulfilled with this whole scenario, but I had a little tiny tinge of fulfillment because although Beth was like, you know, there's nothing we can do, and he's like, but we can, and she's like, but we can't. So Randall goes up there to her room. And girl, okay. So when he enters her room, she's pretty much, Deja's like, pretty much like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. And I'm like, girl, you don't get to decide what we talk about. Mm-hmm. That's first off, okay? Y'all be lucky that I'm letting you sit in this room, do your homework.
Okay, because right now you have no opinion. Your opinion does not matter.
Zero. Like, you're mute from this point, actually, because I don't want to hear anything. You can nod your head in affirmative. But you don't need to say anything. But yeah, so she got that little attitude. And I'm like, see, this is already wrong. And that's why you cannot be nice to these kids. And she didn't care about that phone being on. She still got her computer. She could Skype or whatever them kids do. TikTok videos, I don't know. So he initially is like, you know, I still see you as the 12-year-old girl. I guess because I missed the first part of your life. I haven't, you know, I'm still see you as the little girl, and I know that you're growing, and I gotta accept that you're growing up. But you know what? You ain't grown that part, and you still in 11th grade, living in my house. So henceforth, you will not be traveling to see your little boyfriend.
Yes,
hey, girl. I was like, girl, I appreciate that. Did you remember what happened next? When Deja was like, "Well, that's not gonna work." If I could have sit, you know how like on a WebEx or these little virtual platforms now, you can do hand claps and stuff. If I could have like sent a virtual backhand, I would. Oh, I'm like, I know you did not. I know. That's when he needs to monkey paw her. Because not only did you sneak off and do those things last weekend, when I come in here to talk to you, you act like I'm bothering you and your peace. And then when I tell you what we not gonna do, you have the nerve to backtalk me.
I was appalled by this. And so I will say we have to also, I'll give a little credit where she seemed like she was taking in what he said, a little teary-eyed. Like, I don't know for sure if it was like the guilt or like just listening to him and realizing how much he loves her. But when she said it's about to be a problem, that's where I was also thinking, next episode, I need them to leave at that moment where she said that and come right back to that, because this needs to be handled. So I will say, with the funeral thing, I didn't see any clips of Deja and Randall, and this discussion needs to stop. It needs to come right back to this moment, because this needs to be addressed, Tiff.
Thank you. I don't need him to leave and go to Beth and be like, do you know what she said? Nope. Like, mm-hmm. I need you to handle it, and Beth can figure out the fallout afterward.
Like, yes, this needs to be handled. It's not no just walk away and, okay, this is what she said, honey, let's talk. No. What you say? It's going to be a problem. Oh, yes. No, we need to get up in it. You need to walk back in that room, look her square in the face, and have a sit down or a something. Ooh, girl.
He needs to do, I don't know if you watch Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, especially when it first started coming on, when it had Mimi and, what's that man's name? Stevie J? But she used to like get nose to nose with him. That's what I need. Whenever she would get mad and be yelling at people, she always put her nose at the tip of the other person's nose.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
She's like, I need you to hear me, understand me. That's what I need Randall to do. I don't need him to put no hands on her, but I need him to put his nose tip to her nose tip and look her dead in her eye.
Yeah, and I was also just thinking, yes, I did not see that, but I agree with that. He needs to look her square up, like get into that face. But just the idea that she was so wrong, and for her to have that level of boldness to basically be flippant in that moment, the audacity. But it's the audacity.
I will not say that it's inaccurate. It is an accurate response when you have a 16-year-old who thinks she's in love. So I'm not mad at the writers for writing it like that, like her response like that, because I was like, ooh, that is what probably happened. But like you said, I needed to pick up where that left off. And get in on her.
Get in on her. And see, I don't know. I guess, yes, I feel like that would be a reaction that I would feel inside. But I don't feel that in that moment I would say that. Now, would I be out sneaking around and doing stuff? Yeah, I can see her not listening still. But that because I was mighty bold. They basically just washed their hands away. But I didn't wash their hands away with. But you know, they handled it a lot more casually, more calmly than I think you and I kind of agree that maybe it would have been handled in our personal lives if that happened. And like for you, like I feel like it's not gonna just go that easy. So the fact that she kind of got off and was easy, Beth comes in, her back off to her, you know, she and her boobs. I'm like, but we need your full undivided attention. You need to acknowledge me that I stepped in your room. So I have all kind of concerns with this. And I know teenagers are going to be teenagers, but I still say that, wow, I don't know if I would have been getting caught like that, if I would have just still been, you know, like I saw her wall and said like something sassy, like a little sassy. I don't think I would have been sassy in that point.
Oh, speaking of her wall, did you see the Lizzo poster, girl? Represent H-Town.
Okay, no, girl, I was looking at the sassy, girl. I'm going to look for the Lizzo next time, girl. No, okay. H-Town.
Yeah, the Lizzo poster in there. And I was like, oh, that's what's up. Go ahead. But I don't know. I just feel like as a parent, I probably would have blacked out.
Wait a minute. Okay, like, what happened? Wait, you would have been like your girl. You would have been
And they'd be like, wait, what happened up there? And I'd just be monkey pawing her or something. Like,
You would have like pulled the,
What if we're all wrong? What if we're wrong about it? Maybe, what if her response is not that she's being brazen and sassy? What if her response is legit? That's going to be a problem because of some legitimate reason. I can't think of a legitimate reason, but what if?
That's a good point. Maybe we're looking at it all wrong. Okay, we'll see. Well, maybe it's like, it's going to be a problem. It's, how do we make it make sense? Maybe he gonna start doing what you said he should have did. Maybe he's gonna start coming to her like, it's gonna be a problem if I can't see him because he's gonna come to me. We're not gonna do this anymore. I don't know. It surely can't be. I don't think they're gonna write it in like this, like after one time, a couple of days later, that she it's gonna be a problem because I'm pregnant or something. I don't think that's gonna be it.
Nah,
because
she's gonna be pregnant in the far future, and I do not feel that she's gonna be pregnant as a teenager. Okay, especially since Beth was like, we got to go put her on birth control. I feel like, they're going to nip that in the bud. Unless he's moving back in town, maybe. I would hate for him to drop out of Harvard.
No, I need him. Yeah, I need him to stay at Harvard, though. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so let's see. I still think they're going to break up. So.
And I'm okay if they break up as long as they get back together and that's his baby.
Yes, ma'am. are we done with Randall and him?
Yes, we are. We're done.
I will say one more thing. Girl, the driving shades that Randall had in the beginning, did you catch them? Did you catch them?
Girl, me and my husband talking so much about he continues to try. He continues to try to be cool. He tried to be cool and he just be as cool and corny. He's just funny. Randall was just being Mr. Randall. But yes, I did catch the shades.
It reminds me again of my dad, because my dad still ride with riding gloves, girl. And so he will put them things tightly on his hands and be like, let's ride. So that's all I could hear in my mind when Randall put those shades on, like, let's ride.
That's fun. But that's a good memory, though. I like how that was like your memory, too, and how I brought up those nostalgic moments. And yeah, great bonding moment until the text message is on audio and we hear what happened.
Exactly.
We will return after this quick ad break. Stay with us.
So are we done with Deja and Randall?
Yeah, I'm done with him. I'm done. We just gonna see how it's gonna be handled, Tiff, because I need satisfaction for it to go to that exact moment. So we'll see. We'll see. Maybe it's not
gonna give it to us though.
No, Tiff, listen. I need it to come right back there. They gave it to us when the white car came. That was the exact moment, and we saw the white car come and they showed us that moment. So I'm having hope.
I feel like they do not do parenting and discipline the way old school used to be. Like, maybe they're trying to show a new way to parent and stuff, or maybe they're saying that we're so evolved in 2022, so the old ways of parenting doesn't work anymore with these kids. I don't know, but I just feel like anytime they had opportunity to really get in on a kid, they'll be like, Like, even with the test situation, when she called her mom out her name, and Beth was like, what did you say? But we didn't see her monkey paw her.
I think they do focus more on taking things away, but I still need a stern talking to. We need to have an understanding, and it needs to be real clear, to your point of not them pacing around with each other, but so the kid knows and knows why we're feeling this way. So if you want to have an explanation, that's fine. But yeah, I need you to come with it.
All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to Kate and Toby, girl, because apparently we can talk about Randall and them for a while.
Yes, okay. Ooh, let's move on. Okay, I'm ready. Kate and Toby.
Kate and Toby, girl. So you know I'm looking for crumbs left and right. And I feel like I was just gathering them, though. I feel like I was at the bakery and I was gathering all the crumbs, okay?
I give it to you. Some crumbs were being dealt. I give it to you. Mm-hmm.
So they show Toby flying back and forth, it seems, every weekend. His trips are about 36 hours at home, it seems. He's doing a lot and Kate appreciates it. But as she tells him, look, I'm tired because I'm here 24/7 and we learned she can't even get her hair done. Okay, crumb. That's a crumb, my friend.
Okay.
Like, he's putting in all this effort. Like, yes, that's true. But I'm the one that's actually here all the time. Yes, you go and go work. And yes, you fly here. But I'm here with your kids and I'm working. I don't get no breaks. At least you get a break on a plane ride. At least you get a break after work when you out in San Francisco or wherever he is. At least you get a break after work and go home, kick your feet up, get a haircut if you want to. You want to get mad because when we was on FaceTime, your son started acting crazy and I had to put him away. And you like, but I didn't get to say I love you. Okay. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
But let's not omit the fact that it's still a level of, like, it's still tough for Kevin, right? It's a level of discomfort for him as well. So I'm really interested in us to talk about this because he's out there. Traveling is hard. Okay. Yes. Traveling is hard. I travel for work quite a bit. I mean, not as much anymore now, but you get tired of living out of a suitcase and going back and forth. I mean, it's fun, but at the end of the day, you're away from your family. That's hard on him. We talked about the daddy guilt part, and then you get on a plane just to get right back on a plane. Can't even spend that much time with your family. So it's also hard for him. It's awful. And he doesn't get it, right? Because he's not there. So as we find out, he don't know what can happen when you mess up a sleep schedule. So I'll pause on that note.
Okay, so no, it's right. Like you said, Toby, I think they did a great episode showing that fathers who want to be involved really do be trying to be involved, but for some reason, it's just not working, panning out for them. Like, it's a very stressful thing. And I don't know why it's uneven. It seems to always be uneven with the mother taking on most responsibilities. I don't know why it's like that, but they showed that back in 1984 when the kids was young with Jack and Rebecca, it was like that. And now in 2022, it's still like that. Like the mother bears the brunt of the responsibility. And the dad has daddy guilt. And you know, that's fair. And so with Toby's daddy guilt, he brings gifts all the time, but Tay's like, you know, nobody really needs those. What we need though is for you to be here.
Yeah,
that's not what she, but that's what I was implying, she said. But one gift that Toby brings is a football for baby Jack. And Kay specifically tells Toby that this is not the time to be playing with that football because Jack needs to be going for a nap at 3. She repeated this a couple of times. And girl, when she said it the first time, I said, he ain't gonna put it to bed. He ain't going to bed at 3. When she said it the second time, I said, yep, he definitely ain't going to bed at 3. When she said it like a third time before she left out the house, I said, oh, that baby gonna be up and this is gonna be a problem.
Wow.
Listen, men, fathers do not listen. I'm like, I don't know why having a schedule is so hard for them. Maybe because they're type B or C personalities. I don't know. But something about having someone tell you what to do with your life and your child just really irks them or something. Like, I know what to do. Like, this is my child. I know what to do. And nobody said you don't. Like, me and my husband has actually had arguments or discussions or whatever about this exact thing. Like, this is what needs to happen at this time. I know how to take care of my child. Nobody said you don't know how to take care of your child. But I'm saying that there's a schedule that needs to be abided by, or this will happen. I know how to take care of my child. I don't need you to tell me this. There's been plenty. Even this weekend, it was an argument, but even this weekend, I was going to take the oldest to Barnes & Noble, and the youngest was getting hungry. So I said, hey, the bottle's already ready. She's getting hungry. You might want to heat it up. Okay. Do you think he budged? No. Oh, no, maybe you didn't hear me. I said, he's like, I heard you. All right.
Like, did the youngest have a fallout moment? Or
I don't know, girl. I said, you know what? He'll figure it out. When she fall out, he'll figure it out.
Okay.
Why she gotta do that? Like,
right.
2.5 hours. She's getting cranky already. Why don't you just get prepared? Because they don't want nobody telling them what to do with each other. So, but as we saw with Jack, he was like, I should listen to you more often. And it's the truth. Like, just listen. Okay, so he gives the football. Kate leaves to go get her hair done. And when we get back to them, we see that baby Jack is cranky because he did not have his nap because Toby just completely blew the schedule because he's Toby. And so the babysitter, who's like 12, is like, I'm really just a house sitter. I don't know what to do when babies are awake. That's the vibe I got. She's like, usually they're asleep when I get here. I don't know. So Toby's like, well, I'll miss the event that you really care about me going to so I can fix up what I messed up. And I'm like, this is another crumb because that is not the answer. Like, the answer was for you to follow the next nap schedule, not for you to diss me on the event and date night that we had planned. And now you want to act like you're solving a problem. You're not. You're not solving a problem. And it didn't even have to be a problem if you would just did it. Like, what was so hard about following the nap schedule? You could even slip. Okay, I know you're not here all the time, but we still have to live life even when you're here. We got to live the life as if when you're gone and when you're back. We can't just be changing up. It's a schedule. Okay.
No, I have something to say on this point. And maybe listening to you, so maybe I kind of feel a little bit different. But when this scene was happening, all I can do is go to back to my experience. I worked in daycare for a while. We had a family business daycare. And I was just, you know, as a teenager, even young college student, I come home and I help out at the daycare. So I say that to say I have much experience with seeing a parent drop off their child, right? And almost always every day there's a child that has a fit, that's fussy, that you know don't want to come to the teachers or want to hold on to mommy. But every day that parent, you know, I'm sure it's hard, she walks herself out, or if it's a dad, they walk out and they go home. And they go to work typically, right? And it's usually they may call maybe an hour or so later, how so-and-so doing the baby by that time is playing with the other kids. The baby may be asleep, the baby may be eating, but 9 times out of 10, the baby is okay. So for me, when I saw this happen, I was thinking, if I was to put myself in that moment, my husband is hardly ever home. I can't, like you said, get a chance to really get my hair done. I'm always with the kids. I don't know. I would have been like, you know, hey, we have a babysitter here. She is paid to help with a kid. When you work with kids, kids cry. Kids throw tensions. Kids need help. He may need a little extra soothing tonight, but for tonight, that's going to be her for a couple of hours, and I'm going to go out with my husband. So I am going to, it's going to hurt me, and I'll probably call maybe 30, 40 minutes because I will think about it and hope that the baby's okay, but I'm still going to take advantage of my night out. So that's where I was in this situation.
Yeah, and that's where Kate wanted Toby to be with the situation, but I think Toby's daddy guilt kicked in and was like, this is how I saw this. And it's like, that was the wrong answer. Hence my crumb.
But see, I think that it was more so, like, I feel like she made it a thing. Like Tate was, you know, oh man, I'm going to be thinking about this now. You know, yes. I'm going to be able to have fun. But, and so that's my whole thing. Like, I feel that I would have still been able to, okay, this kind of sucks in the moment, but husband, no, I'm not going to even allow you. No, that's a non-option. We're going to just still go. I may think about them, but let's go. Let's just do our best to enjoy ourselves, as opposed to Toby to me in that moment was seeing Kate kind of unravel and, oh my God, I guess I don't know what to do. And he's crying. He's fussy tonight. And Toby was just almost like, well, you know, I want you to be in a good place. So you just go. But I feel like Kate hadn't responded in that way. He would have been okay with leaving her. He was like, oh yeah, she looked a little young. Okay. You say that she helps out all the time. She knows the kids. Then cool. You cool with it. Let's just go. So I only feel that he did that because of how she responded.
And that's perhaps, but I think Kate's response was very real. It's been my response in the past. And I completely understood that situation and why Kate was reacting the way she was and was saying all the things that she said, because yeah, they had that babysitter, but again, it seems like that babysitter is more of a house sitter. And you got to consider that Jack is special needs too. So it's not like I'm just taking care of a two-year-old. I'm taking care of a two-year-old with special needs. And I barely have any experience, it seems, herself. Because even the little girl was like, eh. So yeah, Kate was still trying to leave for her husband, because she even said, like, we can go, but I'm going to be like calling every few seconds. And that's the truth. I am going to be calling, because usually, like the girl said, my baby sleeps. So I know he's taken care of. Like, I took care of him. I put him down. And I know he's good. And so if I call, it might be like just happenstance. Like, hey, he's still down. But now I got to call and probably hear him howling in the background. I know how my kid is when they're riled up. And the only person that can probably soothe them is me. But I'm trying to go to this thing and I'm trying to go with my husband. If my husband would have just listened, we wouldn't even have to be doing it.
And I get the frustration in that. Like, it could have been avoided. But I mean, that's fair. I can, like I said, maybe like in hearing the whole, okay, yes, she was more of a house sitter. She's used to kids being asleep. So maybe that was just a whole, that's what she felt more comfortable with, just her being in the house, having a warm body and hoping that the kids yes. stay asleep throughout the night. So, okay.
Yes, that's and great. I've had that too. Like my niece, I've had her come to quote unquote babysit, but it was more of a house sit. Like just make sure somebody's here. So, you know, if the house catches on fire, you can call and save everybody. It's not like, oh, you're really going to be feeding him and doing this and this and this. It's like you're just literally just sitting here to be a person to call if something goes wrong.
So in that moment, it really is more of a natural feeling that, okay, let one of the parents just stay. Of course, that's not ideal, but it would be more like, no, I'm not going to go either. You're not going to go, so that somebody can be here with the kid, with the, you know, with the kids.
I think that situation would probably end it just like it did with the husband being like, well, you know, pretty much I messed it up, so I'll stay here to fix it. And Kate still being like, that's not good enough, because again, you simply just had to. And this is where we go back to Rebecca and juxtapose. Rebecca's like, you know, it's okay. I mean, we all have our bad days, blah, blah, blah. And she was giving so much grace to Jack and like, you know, don't feel bad. Things will be better. You can make them better. Whereas Kate was like, no, you caused this whole situation and now I can't even go and enjoy myself. And now you want to sit here and miss out too? No. What was I about to say about that? Thinking about how different that is. Whereas I guess Kate, if it was Rebecca in that situation, Rebecca would probably be like, well, we're going to probably be late, but let's get baby Jack calmed down and in bed the best that we can and then try to go out. So I guess if I had to assume what Rebecca would have done in that situation, she probably would have had more of the approach of, it's okay, I know you really don't get to see them and you just really want to have fun and create a memory. So, you know, let's just get him settled. And if we can make it, we make it. And if we don't, you know, it'll be other recitals. I could see Rebecca being more calm, but I see myself being more like Kate. Like, it all stems from the fact that you had one simple job. And if you had not sent me to get my hair done, then I could have made sure that job was complete. But no, you come into town and just mess up stuff. Act like schedule smeggle. Like, no, they matter.
No, well, I definitely think this whole situation and things with Kate and Toby, we see more crumbs being dropped to the main point of just the long distance, right? And Kate having two kids, very young kids, working, and just the toll is taken on her, the toll that the travel is taking on Toby and how he's feeling. And so, yeah, crumbs, girl. Yeah, crumbs, receipts, receipts, sprinkle, receipts. Sprinkle. Yes, sprinkle. Okay, okay. Well, thank you for walking that through me, because I was really in a whole different place all the way to the right. But now I'm more like, okay, I can see better.
And it's so funny because I feel like whenever Kate and Toby have their parenting spats, you're like, why is Kate acting like that? No, this is how you act. When he forgot the diapers and all he had to do was put the diapers in the bag and he's
like, yes. In these moments, you'd be like, man, I'm pro Kate, boy. That's real. That's how it is. And I'm like, I like Kate, but now I really have to ask myself, now what? Like, what does really happen? I don't know. But okay, you help break it down to the ground. Okay.
It is relatable content. It is real content. And I mean, everybody probably don't react that way, but I know I myself identify with Kate in those situations.
Got it. Okay. And we'll be like, I don't care, my husband here only for a few hours. I'll be willing to let us miss this one little date night experience that we get so rarely.
But you're going to hear me complain, because if you would have just put the baby down like you were supposed to, then we could both be out having a grand old time with our yogurt and everything. But since you didn't, then now we got to sit here and look at each other until the baby go down and maybe make it. So
either way, it probably wouldn't have been a good situation. It would have still been a night kind of
because of the nap. Which takes us to she gets to the recital. After the recital, what's that man name that's going to be her future husband?
Philip.
With Philip, he's like, hey, where's infamous Toby? And she's like, oh, you know, we had an argument. Crumb. This is a crumb.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're right. It was crumbs all the road. Yes, absolutely.
Have I pegged this wrong this whole time, thinking that CrossFit Lover and Toby were going to be the ones we need to keep our eye on, when we should be keeping our eye on Kate and Phillip, perhaps?
Yeah.
She's doing the same thing that she was accusing Toby of, confiding in this single man about your husband or whatever. So, like Kate told him, like, we had a silly argument about, I think she said, I don't know how much detail she gave, but it was pretty much about the schedule. And he, you know, relayed the story of how he used to be married and him and his wife used to always argue about her not hanging the towels back on the rack or whatever. And then when it got to the point where he just didn't care anymore, that's when, you know, they were pretty much over with. So the fact that she cares enough to argue about it means they're still worth saving or something. I don't know. That's what I got from it. But I was just like,
And we find out that he was married. I don't think I knew that he was married.
I didn't either. He's such a prick. But no, that hanging towels on the towel rack, I mean, that's not my issue per se, but I can see how that, because I just know, like, the laundry basket is my issue. Like, you could put a laundry basket in the bathroom.
We have talked about this one before. Yes. He was like, Ricky, if you can get you, Ricky, if you can figure out how to make this work, write a book on it. Yeah.
So Kate goes to Minchie's, buy yogurt for them. She brings it home to Toby. And Toby is like, okay, I will stop with the gifts, but I do want to make memories and we're going to become smokers. And Kate is like, yeah, we're going to be smokers. And this brings us back to the opening scene with grown baby Jack. And I was like, wait, how do we get back here? So at this point, is this his wife or his girlfriend? You know?
No, they haven't really said. So. Okay.
She does become his wife, I think, this one. But anyway, his wife or girlfriend is like, I don't know why you even still use that smoker, considering it's the thing that literally blew up your parents' marriage and almost ruined your perfect face. And I'm like, we got a bakery, y'all. We are there. We need the smoker. We need the smoker. Like, bring the smoker. So in his little dream sequence or memory sequence, like I said, I put it on caption, and Toby was saying, "No, Jack, don't get close to the smoker or something like that. Don't get close to the smoker." And Kate was saying, Jack. So I don't know what happened with the smoker, like if he touched it, if he fell inside of it, or if it fell over on him. Oh, I know. Yeah. But either way, he gets really hurt by that smoker. And so I'm thinking, girl, that the reason this blew up their marriage is because, as we see, Kate is not a Rebecca. And maybe the guilt, like, this is your fault, why he is in the hospital with his head falling off, because you know I'm okay, because look at me exaggerating.
Yeah. His whole head then fell off. He then fell inside the smoker. It fell on him, and they just got him off in time, and he only got a scratch on his head. Yeah.
Because of you taking this job in San Francisco, I asked you not to. I was working, matter of fact. Like, we still had some savings, it seemed. But no, that wasn't good enough for you. Instead, you want to go all the way to San Francisco, living here with your two little kids. Then when you come back in town, you don't even follow the schedule, okay? And then you want to sit up here and get in a smoker, talking about let's make memories, but now you almost killed my child. So this is not going to work.
Yeah.
None of this is funny, but it's kind of funny, I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, did they put the smoker in, girl? Look. Did they put the smoker as the thing that blew up the marriage? Almost kind of so it could be like the crock pot that burned down the Pearsons' house and changed their lives forever.
That was a big thought, Tim. That's a thought, the correlation. Okay, maybe, but we know for sure it has something to do with the incident. That is a major crumb, like you said, a cake of something with the smoker. And we know that it was Toby's idea for the smoker. Which I will say, in the midst of us getting all the crumbs from Kate and Toby during this episode, I still was left thinking, well, at the end of the day, marriages, you have seasons. And they're in this season where he is working away many nights and she is there. Kate is there alone with a lot of the young kids and she's working. And it's a very busy season. But people get through these seasons all the time. Not that it's easy. And I was like, look, this is Toby's way of trying to figure out how can... Yeah. We focus on something other than us being separated. So while we had so many crimes, I'm still like, but look, Toby is still taking this initiative. He's still trying to figure out what we can do. He's acknowledging, like, even to, I don't know if he did it to Kate, but to Kevin, like, you don't mess up the schedule. Kevin's like, yeah, no, you don't mess up the schedule. Like, he didn't know. Like, he's having these aha moments. And so I'm still thinking, oh, maybe we're going to see. But now we know this smoker is going to be a main fixture in what goes down in their relationship. And it's going to go down quickly, as we see, because I think what was only 5 years later and she was marrying Philip.
Oh, yes. And I believe that Jack Jr. had said, maybe Jack, who's grown, has said it was the first time they used the smoker. So, if I heard that correctly, that would mean within the week or two,
okay,
their marriage is gone up the smoke.
Got it. Oh, this is going to be a must see. And I'm so glad you had the caption on, because I had my whole light bulb moment in the middle of us talking, like, oh, okay, Kate. And so this was all in his head. So I didn't really fully get that. I just knew that something happened and it was a trauma for him. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a crumb. We're going to figure out how this has led to Toby and Kate not making it. So,
why has to be so traumatic? Why they just can't break up?
Yeah,
why gotta be a traumatic incident?
Well, look, the good thing is that he lives, so we do know
a little
that.
Scratch now. I don't know what started off as, but it's
cool. Well, that's true, but he survived, and unlike the crockpot situation, you know, everybody didn't make it.
But thinking back to Philip and what he was saying about the towels, and remember when he was like, well, it really wasn't about the towels. We had bigger problems than that. So it wasn't about the schedule. And it's probably not about the smoker. They just have bigger problems. So I don't know. So, okay, I guess next week they have the mama episode, Jack and Mama episode. Mm-hmm. And hopefully the week after that, they come back to, for you, Randall, still
yes, in the exact moment. The exact moment where he's almost out the door thinking that he had a nice little pleasant conversation and they had a little woo-woo moment. Uh-uh. Right there, Tiff. That's where I needed to start. I needed to see what happened when she makes the comment.
And I need the smoker to like start trickling in. Like I need it to be delivered next episode, the episode after next, like delivered at the door. I kind of have a feeling they're going to do the smoker episode and Kate and Philip getting together all in the same episode. You know how they kind of interweave or whatever?
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah, I guess I can see that. But you know, I'm such a, you know, Toby's a beloved character of mine. I know you always said they ain't gonna make it. So that would be a little hard for me to see all in one. Like I'm already dealing with the fact that the marriage is crumbling, right? And they don't make it at the end. We get that. But like to see it and then her and him, and what if it is a situation where Kate steps out and it's just so much. I feel like I need it in parts. Give me two parts. Give me two parts.
You're right. I don't want to see it all together. And I like how they're still making Philip so like unlikable that you're just like, how did you go from being this guy to being her fiance? Like, what in the world? Because I'm still lost.
Yes, but I will say when he gave that advice, I actually saw him like from a different way, in a different way. And I was like, not saying he's all the way likable, but I was like, shoot, that's good advice. Like that was, is relevant. Cause almost like the whole thing, like let somebody hate you or whatever, like have that emotion. But when somebody goes numb, that's a real problem. And yes. So that's kind of pretty much what I gathered from that. I was like, okay, I can see him giving the advice. Seemed like he really did want to meet the husband. And I don't know. So I saw him in a different way. Like he was in his own little prick way trying to be there for Kate and try to encourage her. Like, you still have these feelings. It wasn't like, girl, this ain't right. It's bigger than them bath towels. Run away now. So I didn't see him doing that.
So I think I've covered everything. You have anything else, girl?
Well, I have a spoiler alert. It's been a minute. So I was just so intrigued by the actor that plays Jack Jr. And so I started looking into information about him. And so his name is Blake Sadnick. I believe that's how you pronounce it. And he's truly a visually impaired actor. So I don't know if you know that, but he's truly a visually impaired actor. And this is his first like role, his on-screen role. So I was like, look at him. So he's from Pittsburgh apparently. And he graduated from Penn State in musical theater. So I'm like, okay, is he really doing the singing? Like what's going on? So I just love the casting of him. And then I was like, well, what about infant Jack? You know, he looks, this child is just a, you know, visually impaired infant, and I found out that it's actually like most shows do, it's not just one baby, it's more than one baby that plays infant Jack, and know that the babies are not visually impaired. So I'm interested to find that out.
So the babies are not?
They're not, but they do so well.
A good job, quote unquote, looking like they are.
Yes, they do. So I just knew, at least I thought the infants would be too, but they said that they're not.
Wow.
But the Blake Sadnick, the actual, you know, Big Jack or Jack Jr., he is, so.
Good. And he does a great job. And I wonder, was the smoker real? He was playing on, cooking on.
It probably was real, but I don't think it was really on.
Right. I like how they're doing more of a casting of people that are differently abled. So it's another show. I'm thinking of New Amsterdam that I watched that comes on after This Is Us. They have a person who is it deaf? Yeah, she's deaf. She does sign language. So yeah, they have a surgeon on there who's deaf. And so she goes around with her sign language interpreter or whatever. And so she's a main character now, or at least an extended guest character now. And I haven't looked her up, but I venture to believe that she is actually who she's playing to be. So I'm like, that's cool. Wow. And it's something else that I watched or may have watched that they had a differently abled person as the main character. And I'm like, wow, look at y'all.
That's good.
I know. Well, thank you, girl. I've been missing my horns lately.
We got one in. But yes, okay. So that's all I had to say, Tiff. You good? Any other thoughts about the episode?
I'm good, girl. I just love having our discussions about the issues that they bring up. So it's always good.
Me too. And thanks for your perspective. It's appreciated.
All right, girl. Until next time.
Bye.
Y'all, This Is Us is back with its final season, season 6. The series is ending, and Ricky and I cannot wait to talk about it. Tune in every Tuesday to watch This Is Us, and then tune in every Wednesday to hear our recap and discussions.